Good morning. Welcome, everybody. Nice morning again this morning. It's trying to come out, the sun. So. Praise the one who hears the cry of the poor, who lifts up the weak and gives them strength. Praise the one who feeds the hungry and satisfies the longing of those in need. Praise the one who holds with tenderness the orphan and widows and gives the stranger a land and a home. Let's pray. Lord God, in whom we find life, health, and strength, through whose gifts we are clothed and fed, through whose mercy we have been forgiven and cleansed, be for us a guide, strength, Savior, and Lord all the days of our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, would you turn to your blue hymnals and let's sing hymn number 37, Praise to the Lord Almighty. And let's stand, please.
Good morning. Today I'm reading from this Holdman Christian Standard Bible. That's my standard. I'm reading Hebrews 13, 1 through 8, and skipping also down to 15 and 16. Let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect to show hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though you were in prison with them, and the mistreated as though yourself were suffering bodily. Marriage must be respected by all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled, because God will judge immortal people and adulterers. Your life should be free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And skipping down to 15. Therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices.
Let's bow for the offering prayer. Holy One, as you are faithful to us, may we be faithful to you. Faithful with our time and energy, faithful with our possessions and wealth. Receive these gifts by your grace. Multiply and use them to make real your reign of love, justice, and peace in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And there, the offering plate is in the rear of the sanctuary. Let's continue with hymn number 411 from our blue hymnals, I Bind My Heart This Time. And let's stand, please. Our second scripture this morning is from Luke 14, Luke 14, verse 1, and then verses 7 to 14. In the Pew Bible, it's 739. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and you will be repaid. But then you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
Good morning. Great to be with all you here, and welcome to all of you there at home. And also a special welcome. I don't think Jan is actually here today. Is she here today? Well, a special welcome to Janice Richard and to Ronald Hill, who requested to formally become part of our church family. So, we love you, Janice, wherever you are, and Ronald. And in the near future, we will look toward holding baptism and Anabaptist Mennonite classes for others who want to affirm their walk with Jesus and with us as a church family. So if you or your child are thinking about this, please let me know. Okay. So years ago, when the girls were little, we used to watch these TV shows. It was on Disney. Good Luck Charlie and Wizards of Waverly Place, if any of you have heard those. Both of those shows featured an actress named Bridget Mendler. And when the girls were in Hawaii one summer, I saw a notice from a Philadelphia theater that Bridget Mendler's band was coming to town. So I bought tickets. And meanwhile, I found out that a friend's mom was the theater manager there. And as luck would have it, she arranged for the girls and me to meet Bridget Mendler afterwards, along with all the VIP people who'd actually paid for those positions and for that privilege. So after the concert, we went backstage. The girls were like ready to burst. And the VIP folks all lined up. And we hung back because we hadn't paid for these tickets. And we waited for probably over an hour as Bridget Mendler's handlers moved guests around and took pictures and then moved them to the next guest. It was like a TSA line. They were like continually instructing all these guests about what they were allowed to do, what they were not allowed to do, keep moving, keep your shoes off, whatever. You know, it was just like that. So finally, all the VIP folks had gotten through the line, and it was our turn. We were the last in line. And the girls were like just really ready to explode by this point. And we had brought with us a wrapped gift from Hawaii. And it was a cute little tank top from a Kauai surf shop. Something Bridget Mendler could never get anywhere else except from the girls' place. So when we approached Bridget, her handlers put down their clipboards and they relaxed. And they were asking the girls' names and what they meant, and we chatted about Hawaii, and Bridget relaxed. And she was so excited to see the gift. She, like, unwrapped it like a little kid at Christmas time. It was just adorable. And she talked to the girls for a while. We got a bunch of pictures. Everyone was so kind to us, the three people at the very back of the line. When I read today's Luke passage, it made me think of this story. I think about it a lot because to me, it seemed like a cultural norm for us to wait and hang back, to not push our way to the front of the line, and to bring a gift. These are Hawaii's ways. Humility there is non-negotiable. It is a priceless value. And generally speaking, people who are arrogant or pushy or impatient or self-centered are not very well received there. Connie, Jackie, and others who are familiar with Hawaii culture can certainly attest to that. So while humility is a Hawaii value, it's also a Jesus-y value. Not only because Jesus talks about it all the time, but because of how he acts all the time. For example, Hebrews 2 tells us, "But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." And Philippians 2 tells us, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not on your own interests, but to the interests of others." It's like that song we just sang, binding ourselves to others and their experience. "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness." That's how he bound himself to us. "And being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that all the name given to Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes, the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we're told, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.'" And mind you, he's saying this as he sat down. Matthew, the author of Hebrews, and Paul and Philippians observed Jesus' radical humility, which is ultimately took the form of self-sacrificial love. I mean, we have a God who became human and in humility hung naked on a cross between criminals, to dupe death and destroy the evil one. Humility may be low, but it is incredibly powerful. Jesus was willing to do whatever it took to save us from ourselves and from Satan. Likewise, there are dozens of passages in the Bible that call us to die of ourselves so that we can make room in ourselves to be filled up with God, and to lay down our own power so that the meek can inherit the earth. The meek aren't always born so. We can strive to be meek, to hang back and wait until others get the good seats at the table. And in turn, this makes us meek. We all want to inherit the earth. In fact, this is how the author Eric Law defines justice in his book, The Wolf Shall Dwell with the Lamb. He says, "Justice means equal distribution of power and privilege among all people. In the vision of the peaceable realm, the balanced distribution of power among the animals is essential. So peace isn't really about lack of conflict. It's about lack of fear. Law continues, lack of fear is created by the even distribution of power. The lamb is equal to the wolf, the calf is equal to the lion. Therefore, they can live peaceably together. True peace cannot be obtained without justice. To do justice, then, is to be able to see and recognize the uneven distribution of power and to take steps to redistribute power equally. As some of you know, Mosaic Mennonite Conference has appointed a listening task force, which I am on. Please pray for me. This is to evaluate Mosaic's relationship with MCUSA. And while it may seem that this was only prompted by the MCUSA Delegate Assembly in May, Mosaic has been wondering about this relationship with MCUSA since its beginnings, only a few years ago. So can Mosaic's diverse, global, deeply relational vision and mission be carried out fully with its current connection to MCUSA? And do we have the space and freedom to move and grow as the Holy Spirit wants us to within our current relationship to MCUSA? These are some of the questions that we're asking. And as part of this listening process, many of us have been praying and fasting. And interestingly, though not surprisingly, there is one word that keeps rising up out of these prayers. What do you think it is? Any ideas? Humility. 2,000 plus years after Jesus told the parable in Luke, Jesus' Holy Spirit is still talking to us about humility, which probably means that we're not listening very well. If we are listening, the Holy Spirit would not have to keep repeating this message. So what does this mean? How can we humble ourselves? How can we die of ourselves to make room for God and God's ways? How have we been arrogant or righteous or entitled or know-it-alls? These are important questions to consider, yet the ways we're being anything but humble may not be so obvious, which brings us to the title of our sermon, Table Manners. Upper Milford Mennonite Church feeds the community in need. We are part of the local food pantry. We have regular food drives like Super Bowl Sunday. We have 800 kits ready to go out to the world's children downstairs, which is almost 1/45th of Mennonite Central Committee's entire East Coast goal. We put together Ukraine relief kits, and in the spirit of mutual aid, we help each other and our neighbors as needed. We are a tiny church, and we do so much. It brings tears to my eyes when I think of it. It's just amazing. And you are all amazing, faithful servants. So how could we possibly do more? I mean, what does this message of humility mean to us? I don't think it's about doing more so much as it is about maybe thinking differently with this Christ-like radical humility. And I don't have specific suggestions for this because we all walk on different paths during the week. We all do different things. We all have different spheres of influence. But I'll give you an example of being a faithful servant in radical humility. And let's see how we can apply this in our everyday lives. This is important because the Holy Spirit is speaking to us in this time. We must be humble. We must listen. We must discern the path forward. So here's the example. Soup kitchens report that they have plenty of volunteers to serve food. But guess what they never have enough volunteers to do?
Clean up.
It's not clean up. What else?
To cook the meal.
It's not to cook the meals.
Socialize.
Bingo. They never have enough volunteers to sit and eat with the guests. On the surface, that doesn't seem like a big deal, right? I mean, you go and sit with the guests. But if you're doing that in a humble and gracious way, the guest doesn't necessarily know that you're a volunteer. Nor does anyone else. Everyone thinks you're the guest. Just like them. Equals eating together. That's Jesus-y table manners. Because at the crucifixion, those who didn't know and love Jesus thought he was just another criminal being punished. And God could have easily done something to make immediately apparent that Jesus was not a criminal, that his punishment and death was unjust, that he was divine. But God didn't do that. Jesus hung and bled and died slowly alongside the other criminals. His table manners in the Luke parable extended into the depths of his life and death. And likewise, Jesus' humble way of being extends to all parts of our lives. Humility has always been a Mennonite value, yet how it's expressed has changed over time. From simple speech, dress, worship spaces, foot washing, philanthropic generosity, mutual aid, the way we do mission work. The question is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to us now about humility? About dying of ourselves and our ways in this time? What is the new thing the Holy Spirit is doing today? And can we let go of ourselves, our ways, our culture, our traditions, enough to hear the Holy Spirit's whisper? Can we empty ourselves enough to be filled with God's renewing breath? Because the world is our table. Let's pray so in all earnestness for humility. Amen. Let's stand and sing, "Will You Let Me Be Your Servant," in your hymnal number 307.
Thank you.
I just want to say also that I think it's quite amazing. 2 weeks ago, we had to choose the passages and the sermon title for today, and usually I give the worship leaders detail about what I'm going to be preaching on, and I didn't this time because it was weeks early. All I gave was the title of the sermon, Table Manners. And Sylvia and Dennis had no idea where I was going with it. And neither did I until I was writing the sermon. So I just want to affirm that the Holy Spirit is speaking. The Holy Spirit is speaking now because these songs that you picked today, I mean, it's divine. It couldn't have been done just in our human way. It's amazing. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, continue to speak to us about humility. Help us to know how to take on Jesus' radical, self-sacrificial humility. Speak to us and give us direction so that we can live in God's peaceable realm, where the wolf lays down with the lamb, because no one is afraid. God, we align our wills to yours as we pray for the joys and concerns we heard earlier. And in this moment of silence, hear the prayers of your people. We pray also for our enemies to become friends, that the hungry and poor have plenty, that the oppressed be uplifted and justice be done, that all who are troubled have peace of mind, that our shame be redeemed, that wars and violence stop in your name, that our children and youth thrive, that the sick be healed and that we have the courage to pray for complete healing, even for ailments we think are incurable, because you are in us. Help us to be in your image of goodness and health. We pray that the upcoming Mosaic delegate session glorifies you, God, that all of creation be restored, that leaders of the world be led by love, that those who serve this church are well supported, that this church, our ministries, and our families, friends, and pets be protected and enveloped in your love. God, we love you so much and pray as Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please rise for our sending. This week, I ask you to consider how the Holy Spirit wants us to be humble now, what the Holy Spirit wants us to let go of in this time, and what new thing the Holy Spirit wants us to do today that we might need to make space for. Listen for the Holy Spirit's whisper. Empty ourselves enough to be filled with God's renewing breath. Let's sing Heart with Loving Heart United in your hymnal number 420.